When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Thursday to you. We've got a big show for you today. TJ Cleland in the booth. Fill it in for Tommy today. We've got Jad Chambers producing. We've got the IHOP hotline open for you. It's a busy day on the hotline, but it is yours here for the first 30 minutes or so. It's brought to you by IHOP, official breakfast partner of Xbox. Come in, try those decadent, fully loaded French toast only at IHOP. 869-1240 is that number. You can reach the show via our video streams. Leave your comments right there on the Facebook, YouTube, or X streams. You can, of course, What do you even call it now, TJ? I can't say you can tweet at us on X. You can talk to us on X, whatever that's called now. You can do that there. You can, of course, see us on 12 News Connected as well. If you're listening to us on the Odyssey app, there is a way you can send us your voice messages, which is fun. You just hit a little microphone there if you're listening to us on the Odyssey app. And I think, and we need to test this, even if you're listening to us from the future, if you're not listening to us live, if you've got something to say, I think you can send those messages anytime. And Jad would get those. Jad, is that right? Like, could they send, if they were listening to this, let's say tonight and not live, we fired somebody up and they wanted to, you know, message in and tell us how big a knuckleheads we are. They could do that, right? And we'd get it tomorrow.
Yeah. And they'd be right.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, they would be. They'd be 100% right. That's correct. Yeah. So you can do that as well. Even if you're listening to us, we know a lot of people download the podcast and listen to us that way. We really appreciate you doing that. We've got good guests coming up today for you. PJ Glasser, our betting insider, will be on. He will chat with us about the college football playoffs getting underway. NFL, of course. We'll also have Tim Fitzgerald of GoPowerCat.com, our K-State insider, in the second hour. Looking forward to that conversation. A lot to get to with K-State basketball. And then we'll get the latest from Fitz on what's happening in the transfer portal. That is a life not for me to follow that kind of stuff, but it is for Fitz. So we'll get to the Fitz stuff in the second hour. TJ, how are you this morning?
I'm pretty good. Late night last night, trying to stay up and watch some junior college football national championship. That game took about 4.5 hours or whatever it was, but I stayed up and it was one heck of a game to watch. So Blue Dragons got it done.
Congratulations to the Hutch Blue Dragons. Winning another natty, which is wild, and I didn't realize where they were playing, TJ. That's
Buffaloes.
My alma mater right there. Go Buffs.
Stadium
West Texas A&M. Now, were they on campus or were they at the old Kimbrough Stadium? They were on the campus stadium. Was it in like a deep bowl or was it a normal looking
deep
stadium?
Bowl, nice like porcelain looking buffalo at the top of the hill. Yeah. They had a full light show and everything. It looked nice.
So that's Kimbrough. That's where they played when I was there, when they packed 20,000 people in there for Division II football games. Now they moved on campus. And while I've been told the on-campus stadium is nice and everything, it breaks my heart that they still don't play their college games there. But anyway, glad Hutch got to go there. It's a really, really, really cool old-school venue. Used to be in the Valley. A lot of history at that stadium. So congratulations to the Hutch Blue Dragons. That is fantastic. So happy for them. What is that, 2 and 4 years?
Yeah, I think so. The COVID year in 2021. So
yeah, wild, wild stuff. So yeah, congrats to them. TJ, let's talk football here off the top, and we'll open with the Chiefs. Look, I think that it has become pretty obvious that Mahomes is going to play here. Another full day at practice. I think, you know, when you see the hit, which we saw Sunday, and you hear high ankle sprain, you become very concerned. But it basically since then, it's all been good news. Now, it's a mid-ankle sprain. He's been able to practice. I don't see any scenario where they don't play him or he doesn't start the game on Saturday.
Yeah, it's pretty unreal. Just looking at Patrick Mahomes, you know, history of taking hits like that, you know, typically we a lot of times see him get up and go back in two plays later because, you know, we've seen the videos of how he's training these weird things to he's training his ankle so this doesn't happen and everything like that. And so I'd say that's a big part of it. You know, you get hit three different ways like he did, you know, a lot of quarterbacks, they're going to be out for a long time and it's probably going to be a little bit more than an ankle sprain, I imagine. So I would imagine that he's really rehabbing hard with the Chiefs. He's rehabbing on his own. And Patrick Mahomes is quite the competitor. So I'm saying that he's doing every single thing that he can behind the scenes so he doesn't miss a single game.
Now, I will say this. Assuming he starts, and everyone, including Vegas, thinks he will, the line has moved. We can get to that with PJ Glasser soon. I would still be willing, though, if I was Andy Reid. Mahomes may not like this. If they get to a point in the second half where they feel like they can pull him out of the game, I would absolutely pull him out of the game. The fact that he's able to play does not change the fact that they have absolute liabilities on the bookends of their offensive line. And honestly, I think this probably through the rest of the season. I think if given the opportunity, they should put Carson Wentz in. If you've got a two-score lead, so basically the scenario that you got to with the Browns, just, you know, you've got the ability you should have to run the ball anyway. I would not be opposed to seeing them pull him out of games early if they think they've got a game in hand. Now, the problem with that is, outside of the Browns game, DJ, they haven't had any games in hand. So we can wish and hope all we'd like, but who knows if they can actually get it pulled off, because they do play three quality teams down the stretch here.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game against the Texans. I was going to say, it's going to be interesting because, you know, in the past, we've seen this ankle injury. The same ankle happened twice, and he's able to play through it and, you know, honestly kind of play with a limp and still be able to be a little bit mobile and everything like that. I think that the difference is, and the reason that so many Chiefs fans are going to have to hold their breath on Saturday, is that this is the season he's gotten hit the most in his entire career. So, you know, it's liable that he's going to get hit and may twist it up again, and that's just something that you're going to have to hold your breath and watch the game, and who knows how many times he's going to get hit on Saturday.
It'll be some. I mean, at least he gets hit every game. That's what the problem has been. It's why we haven't liked the game plans. It's why we haven't liked the game scripts that they've been running out there, because it puts, you know, Mahomes under siege far too often. Hopefully against the Texans, they can get in there and they can run the ball, right? And they did try. And look, against the Browns, they finally gave the ball to the running backs. Now, there was a stretch of the game where we wished they would have, you know, tried to run it a little bit more. But in totality, it was by far the most they have run the ball this year. And, you know, the sooner they can get home field locked up, the sooner they can get real rest for these starters. It'll be interesting. Hollywood Brown, of course, practicing again. Just like Mahomes, all signs pointing to Hollywood Brown being available this weekend. I honestly don't know how much of a difference that's going to make at this point. I don't know what it does, who it takes reps from. I'm not real sure how they'll do that. Maybe Juju Smith-Schuster. Xavier Worthy's finally becoming a consistent part of the offense, so I don't know that you'd want to change his role all that much. But Hollywood Brown is a weapon. How quickly can he get acclimated? I think we forget the reporting on Hollywood Brown before the injury was all wildly positive, right? On the fit there and yep. how he was meshing with Mahomes, all of those things. So, I mean, is he a difference maker for the team? Maybe. I doubt it, but maybe. I mean, maybe 1 to 2, 3, 4 plays a game early he can be. But, you know, it's possible, I'll say.
Yeah, you know, just thinking back to training camp, you know, we're sitting in St. Joe watching this team, and that was the glory days of Chiefs football this year, you know, where Rashee Rice was out there, Hollywood Brown was out there, everybody was out there. And so everything looked awesome with Hollywood Brown, and everybody was so excited to get him on the field. And then, you know, what happens, and now it seems like he's back, and you're kind of hearing the same buzz about, you know, how much different he looks, you know, than the other guys that they have in the offense. Obviously, he's going to be a lot faster than Juju Smith-Schuster. He's going to be a lot more dynamic than, you know, like a Justin Watson, Nico Remigio, stuff like that. So obviously to get a healthy body in week 16 or whatever week we were in at this point, it's going to be huge for the offense. And I think that another part that a lot of people aren't talking about is, you know, it's not like they just acquired him in a trade or just signed him. He's been with the team for the last 18 weeks, and he's, you know, been following in, sitting in meetings and everything like that you would do. He's just obviously not out on the field. So it's not like he's going to take time to learn this offense and everything like that, because he's learned it. He already knows what he's doing.
I wouldn't think so anyway. And you know, the reality is, again, like, I'm excited he's back, but I don't want that to mean the Chiefs decide to throw it more, right? There's got to be like replacement, not add-on value, for me anyway, because to me, running the ball is far too important. So yeah, if all of a sudden Hollywood Brown comes in and they, you know, basically just add 6 or 7 more targets onto what they've already been doing, I don't think that's a good thing. So it's got to be replacement value. He has to take those targets away from somebody else. And I think that's totally feasible. I think you can do that. You know, as much as Juju has helped the Chiefs in big spots, if you can run an offense out there with DeAndre Hopkins, Hollywood Brown, and Xavier Worthy, and or the two tight ends when you need to. Like, the Chiefs are getting healthy, and we're not talking about that, right? Like, we're not talking about the fact that the top seed potentially in the AFC is getting healthier and healthier outside of the Mahomes situation every week. Maybe they get Humphreys back by the playoffs. This is why, a part of the reason why, even in the midst of the chaotic wins, I have never been willing to back off the Chiefs as my Super Bowl pick, because this has been building, right? Like, they've been getting to the point where they get all of these weapons back for a while now, and all of a sudden they could get into a situation with a full week of rest, 2 full weeks of rest. They walk into the postseason the healthiest they've been in this entire year could be to start the postseason. Yeah, nobody's talking about that.
I mean, I'd agree. You know, I was thinking about that the other day. I need to get my Super Bowl slip in. You know, I was kind of doubtful. I remember back in the preseason, I said that it's too good to be true that they can pull off a three-peat. And there's so many other factors and everything like that. But just looking at the rest of the NFL product and just how well the Chiefs handle things that they do, it feels like it's got to be the Chiefs again now.
Buffalo looks really good. We're going to get to some of these picks with PJ Glasser. What about the two teams playing tonight? From a non-betting, just a football perspective, we'll look at a Thursday Night Football. I love this game tonight. We'll talk about it. Are either of these teams real contenders? I think they both like to think they are. We'll talk about that next. A big Thursday Night Football game with implications in the AFC playoff race for sure. On the way, I want to say thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up here in the KFH and all the Odyssey studios. Thanks to them. It's Albrock. It's Cleland. We're coming right back. Welcome back to Sports Daily. Tune in tonight to KFH for NFL's Thursday Night Football, AFC West Showdown. Broncos on the road in L.A. taking on the Chargers. Tune in at 6:30, 97.5, 1240 KFH, or download the free Odyssey app and just search KFH. Just getting a Jeremy Fowler report is what we were just talking about. Hollywood Brown expected to be activated and play Saturday. No surprise there. Thursday Night Football tonight, TJ, is a fascinating one. We'll talk about the betting side of this next with PJ Glasser. From a strictly football perspective, I love this game. I think this is a huge opportunity for the Chargers. they had a massively underwhelming performance last week. I think the Broncos are riding a little hot, quite frankly. I kind of like the Chargers tonight. It's a big spot for them. They can make a big statement. And honestly, the loser of this game is in a little bit of trouble, right? The loser here, if you go and look, like Denver's closing schedule is brutal. The Chargers, the reason I think this is such a big opportunity for them, after this, when they get to, they close with back-to-back road games, but it's New England and the Raiders. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you go look at what Denver's got coming up, it's this one on the road, then it's the Bengals on the road, then it's the Chiefs. Now, the Broncos may get wildly lucky if the Chiefs get that thing wrapped up and pull their starters, but if they do not, then Denver's in real trouble if they don't win this game, because you'd have a real dicey situation. I think the Broncos, depending on what the Chiefs do in the final week of the year, the Broncos are in real danger of dropping their last three games here.
Yeah, you know, in lack of a better term, it's the beginning of the end of the regular season, basically. You know, even talking about the Chiefs, you start looking ahead to these last three games and what it's going to take. And then I imagine if you're a team that's on the bubble like these two are, you know, you're really kind of sweating this out of what you have to do in the scenarios, because there's probably a million still, because not that many teams have clinched. So this is a really big one for, you know, division rivals. I'm really fascinated in terms of the quarterback play in this one, because everybody, you know, calls Justin Herbert the, you know, what if quarterback, and all these hypotheticals that he'd be really good if this happened and he'd be really good if this happened. Now he's got a chance to, you know, get in the playoffs and, you know, maybe make a run in the playoffs. And it's got to start tonight. This is basically a playoff game for the Chargers. And then you look at Bo Nix, who's a guy that a lot of people doubted on draft night, that, you know, they didn't think he was going to be able to do it. And, you know, he's done it so far. And so a really big spot for both of these young quarterbacks. I don't even know if Herbert's a young quarterback anymore. I'm so used to calling
him. No, he's not young. And they're a run-based team. And Herbert's been good this year, right? He's been very efficient. He's not turning the ball over. But they've been a run-based team. They have to now see if they can be a pass-based team. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, been... all eyes are on Herbert here, because without J.K. Dobbins, they just haven't been able to run the ball. So can they throw it as much as they'd like to? They've got, you know, they've invested back-to-back years, first-round draft picks at wide receiver. You know, they've been a little banged up at tight end, which has been unfortunate for them. But, you know, they've got a backup tight end who's been okay. So what are they going to do? I don't know. Can they get it done? I think that they can. I'm a Herbert guy. I like Herbert. I think Herbert's really good. But at some point, you do have to, you know, get it done. And you have to be able to go in there and get these things done. And they haven't been able to do that in some of the big spots. I think this is a really big opportunity for them. I really like their chances tonight at this thing. But they got to get out there and prove it. And yeah, Bo Nix deserves a lot of credit. I didn't, you know, of the early drafted quarterbacks, I thought Bo Nix was at the bottom of my list. I'm not still totally sold on Bo Nix. I love his attitude. I love his personality. We'll see if he can continue to do this on the field. But I think we're in a situation where this rookie class is of quarterbacks is really good, all of them. Right, we haven't seen him. We won't see McCarthy play. We'll get a chance to look at Penix, so we'll see. But as far as Daniels, Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, like they've all, Drake May, I think they're all showing signs of being good quarterbacks. So Bo Nix is one of them. He's one of the leaders for Rookie of the Year. We'll see who gets it between he and Jaden Daniels. But look, he's been given the opportunity and he's been really good. I just don't believe it completely with the Broncos. And I think that's why, and I'll see what PJ Glasser feels on that. The Chargers are favored tonight. I think the Broncos are running a little, it will be hard for them to lose their playoff spot, but I absolutely think they're capable of losing the last three games of the season. You know, all of those teams below them would have to then win all three of their remaining games to pass them. But the Broncos seem vulnerable to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I mean, this is a playoff game. You know, these are the games that you have to win if you want to especially get yourself in a good spot to maybe win a wild card game and get the opportunity to keep playing. But for one, you know, these are games you got to win to get in the playoffs. They're not in yet. And as you said, this is a tough three-game stretch for the Broncos. And, you know, I don't know how many people pegged the Broncos as a playoff team in the preseason looking at what they had. I feel like they're overachievers, and Bo Nix is an overachiever. And so, you know, you're playing with house money. You got to go win these football games.
So if you're the Chiefs, Which of these teams would you rather see not make the playoffs? And they very likely both might make it. But if you can only prefer one of them to get there, again, if you're the Chiefs, which one would you rather see in the postseason?
Man, I don't know. That's a spicy question, you know, because all signs would point when you're looking at talent-wise that I would say that I'd rather play the Broncos, but I don't think I'd rather play the Broncos. The Broncos have something about them that is probably a scary team to get this late in the season.
They both can rush the passer. I don't know who I'd rather see either, honestly, because they can both run the rush the passer, and neither of these teams right now as they're currently constructed, they're going to have to throw it. Like the Chiefs, to me, the good matchups are teams that are very, very run-based because the Chiefs are so good at stopping the run. That's why I like them in a matchup against the Ravens, for instance, in the postseason, or the Texans, and we'll see that this weekend. Like teams that live and die by the run this year, that to me favors the Chiefs a little bit. Teams that are forced to throw it around a lot, that scares me. Now, back to the Chiefs and their defense. We saw the pass rush come alive, finally, against the Browns. And that was that was the best defensive performance holistically for the Chiefs, not even close, in a really long time. Yep. So that may be something too. Like if they can unlock the pass rush a little bit, another reason what we talked about last segment, people were way too quick to write the Chiefs off. If that defense plays like it did early in the year, they're wildly dangerous. They're getting healthier, all of these things. But I can't wait to see tonight. I can tell you that right now. I love this game. Love this game. Love that it's a rivalry game. Of course, I've told people this before. My wife's a big Chargers fan, so I always had a soft spot. Don't throw stones, Chiefs fans. That's well before we moved to Chiefs Kingdom. So we'll watch it tonight. We'll get a betting insider in to talk about that game and more college football. Playoffs are coming up. We've got all kinds of games to preview. The fascinating line on the Chiefs game, quite frankly, with the Mahomes injury. We'll get to it all next. PJ Glasser, our betting insider, joins the program when we return on Sports Daily. All right, welcome back in, everybody. Glad to have you with us today. On the line right now, PJ Glasser is with us, our betting insider, host of Send It In and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the Send It In podcast for more analysis. Just search Send It In wherever you find your podcast. The Odyssey app would be a great place to do that. PJ, welcome. How are you today?
I'm doing good, guys. I'm doing good. Good to see you. It's finally here, right? This weekend that we've been waiting for. Yeah. College football playoff, and we got good NFL slate, especially on Saturday. Those two games are going to be really good, so I'm excited for this weekend.
I agree. I think it should be a good weekend as well. Let's start with tonight, though, and we'll start with the NFL on that. I'm pretty pumped for this game tonight from a football perspective. I think these are two really interesting teams, maybe both flying a little high. We'll see what shakes out. The over-under looks low to me. I know we see the Chargers kind of struggling. These teams both have good defenses, but I don't know. 41, it feels like they could get over that. What do you like in this one?
I like Denver. And, guys, usually in betting, a rule of thumb is when you have a home team, if they're 2.5, you tend to go with the underdog. If they're at 3.5, you tend to go with the favorite. And this line was at 3. It dropped down to 2.5, which I think makes sense. You know, you look at the Chargers this season, and it's pretty clear cut with them. If they play a good team with a winning record, they don't beat that team and they don't cover the spread. And then they feast on like the bad teams in the NFL, right? Which makes sense because Harbaugh is obviously a great coach. This is year one. They were transitioning from kind of Brandon Staley to Harbaugh, and he brought in some new coaches and the personnel kind of changed. And with Dobbins out, I mean, this offense just that's been their top guy. And without him, there really hasn't been a lot of explosiveness. So going up against that Denver defense, which is one of the best in the NFL, great secondary. We know the Chargers lack receiving weapons. I think it's going to be tough for them to move the ball in this game. So I like the Broncos here, +2.5. Keep in mind, too, Denver played a Thursday night game on the road earlier this season in New Orleans, right? So for a team with a young quarterback, that might be something that could hurt them. Short week going on the road, kind of getting out of your comfort zone. But Denver has already had that, so they kind of know what to expect heading into this game. I think they're the better team. Chargers have struggled to beat good teams all year with winning records, so I like the Broncos.
PJ, one of the lines that everybody's looking at around here, the Chiefs, and it's one of the most interesting ones that we've seen in a long time with the huge swing. I think we saw a six-point swing with Mahomes news looking like he's going to play. Is Mahomes a six-point player, in your opinion?
I mean, he certainly is. Now, the question is, has this line gotten too far, right? Because when we saw that he was a full participant in practice, it went to 2.5 with the Chiefs. Then it got to 3. And now you're getting to the 3.5. And with these two teams and how good the defenses are, and Mahomes, even if he does play, not being 100%, we know Kansas City, the story with them, obviously, they've been winning games but not covering spreads. Now that we've gotten to the 3.5, I feel like this has been too much of an adjustment, where I kind of like the Texans here in a lower scoring game. So I'm leaning Texans plus 3.5. I don't know how you guys feel. I'm sure you talked about it on air, but I actually would have liked Kansas City more with the spread had Carson Wentz played and we got them as a home underdog. I think Kansas City in that role, with all the talk about what an overrated 13-1 team they are and how unimpressive they've been, I think with Wentz in there, it would have been one of those games where, like, kind of everybody would have rallied around. And without Mahomes, I think guys would have enjoyed the opportunity to kind of prove themselves. With Mahomes back in the lineup, obviously he gives you a better chance to win. That's why they're the favorites now. But I'm more so like Houston against the spread against the Chiefs. Whereas if Wentz started, I kind of would have liked the Chiefs as home dogs in that game.
I would have liked him as money line in that game. And and so here's another interesting fact when we just get the news. Hollywood Brown's going to play. Now, he hasn't played all year, so how much they use him, I don't know. But it does point to this bigger narrative with the Chiefs that I think probably we are paying more attention to locally than is being paid attention to nationally. And that's that they're finally getting healthy. I don't know that people have realized how banged up the Chiefs have been this entire season. You know, they finally get Isaiah Pacheco back. Now they're getting Hollywood Brown. Their pass rush is finally, you know, sort of coming back and finding its groove. I think there's absolutely a chance, PJ, that we have not seen the best of the Chiefs yet this year. And that could be coming at a really opportune time for them. And I just wonder if we should pay attention to that, if there are opportunities here down the stretch with their bets.
Yeah, no doubt they're getting healthy. And, you know, as you guys know, it kind of feels like the Chiefs are going through the motions. They know how to win in the regular season, and they're just doing just enough to get by and win these games. But, like, I've seen this movie before. I'm sure you guys have, too. And the team that we're seeing now is not the team that we're going to see in the playoffs. So not only are they getting healthy, but I think they're holding back a little bit, too. I mean, this is a team that's won 2 straight Super Bowls, right? They've been in deep runs. They got a lot of wear and tear on their bodies. They've been through a lot of battles. So they can't go all out in the regular season in every game like maybe some of these other teams can. So the Chiefs kind of know what they're doing. They're playing it, you know, kind of just they're winning each game as they can and not trying to blow teams out. So that's why when you're getting the 3.5 with Houston, I like them in that game. As for Hollywood, it's going to be interesting to see how they use him. You know, him and Xavier Worthy, their skill sets are so similar. So what that distribution looks like, who they decide to run jet sweeps with, who they run screens with, who's kind of the deep ball guy for Mahomes now, I think that's going to be interesting. There's no props up right now on BetMGM for Hollywood, but when that number drops, I'm interested to see what his receiving totals look like.
PJ, while we're talking about the playoffs, one thing that I found interesting, I was just looking at Super Bowl props this morning since we were talking about the Chiefs getting healthier. The Eagles are the number 2 team is what I'm looking at here. It's Bills, Eagles, Lions, Chiefs. There's been some shifting in there. You know, how big have these past couple of weeks been for, you know, the books to make these predictions?
Oh, they've been huge, especially when you couple it with the Lions injuries and then obviously the Bills beating the Lions, right? And a lot of people thinking that that might be the Super Bowl. So yeah, TJ, I mean, the Bills and the Lions right now are co-favorites to play in the Super Bowl. And quite frankly, I don't think either of those teams are going to be playing in the Super Bowl. I still like Kansas City in the AFC. And then the Eagles, who you brought up, and I wouldn't sleep on the Packers either. You know, LaFleur is a really good coach. We saw what they were able to do in the playoffs last year. They went into Dallas, destroyed them, And then they had the San Francisco on the ropes as well. So I think the Packers are going to be a tough out. Let's remember too, guys, like as great as Detroit has been this season, Minnesota has the same record as them. These two teams still play. And if Minnesota gets the number one seed, I mean, that's going to be a game changer. Detroit is going to have to play wild card weekend. They're going to have to go on the road and all these different things. So I still like Kansas City. Quite frankly, guys, I just hope that the Bills continue to look impressive and the odds on the Chiefs just continue to diminish. Because as far as I'm concerned, they can look as bad as they want in the regular season. To me, it's not going to influence how I feel about them in the playoffs.
You went through that, and I want to get your favorite NFL bets, but you went through, and boy, why hadn't anybody given the Vikings love? They could have home field here in this thing. If Detroit is vulnerable, Minnesota can throw the ball. They can run the ball. They got a great pass rush. What is it about the Vikings that we're all sort of collectively sleeping on? Because I think they have all the is it a Sam Darnold thing and that's it?
That's it. That's it. It's Darnold. It's Darnold. You know, I mean, just the era that we live in now, I don't know if you can win a Super Bowl with a guy like Darnold as your quarterback. As great as he's playing, I don't know if you could win it.
But can you with Jordan Love? You know, Sam Darnold's played better than Jalen Hurts this year. Like, that's what I mean. Like, I agree with you, by the way, if you look for, like, I've done this before. If you go back 30 years, you have to have a Hall of Fame quarterback with, like, right. Three exceptions. Like, they got to be that good to win a Super Bowl. But the NFC doesn't have one of those right now.
So I think if you're not talking about like a top four, top five quarterback in the NFL, I think your ceiling is to make it to the Super Bowl. But I don't know if you can win it, right? You talk about Jalen Hurts. We saw the Eagles get to a Super Bowl, didn't win it. We saw Brock Purdy and the Niners last year get to a Super Bowl, and he didn't win it. We saw Jared Goff with the Rams get to a Super Bowl and not win it. So I think the Vikings' absolute ceiling is getting to the Super Bowl. If they did that, I don't think it would be shocked. But then when you play a neutral site game against another really good team, and especially if that team is Kansas City or Buffalo and Baltimore, and you're going up against a Hall of Fame, top three, top four quarterback, I think it's going to be tough. So it is Darnold at the end of the day. And O'Connell's awesome, and Flores is great too. Jefferson's one of the best receivers. Their defense is playing great. But to me, it is Darnold. I just don't think they can win a Super Bowl with him.
PJ, you talked about how awesome this weekend's going to be on the football slate. That includes college football playoff, and we get it a day early on Friday there. 7 o'clock is the Hoosiers at Notre Dame in-state battle. Everybody's counted out Indiana all year. Still only one loss on that resume. 7.5-point dogs, it looks like, at Notre Dame.
Guys, this is going to be a fun game. It really is. I think Notre Dame wins. But would not be shocked in the slightest if Indiana pulls off the upset. I'm betting them plus the points, plus the 7.5. You're starting to see this line going back and forth between 7 and 7.5. As soon as it goes down to 7, people are betting Notre Dame. When you're getting the 7.5, people are getting that hook with Indiana. And I really think it is one of those games where the hook is going to be important because I think it's going to be one score. Something interesting to watch. And you see this all the time in March Madness, too, especially with like a Gonzaga, teams that are used to just blowing out everybody in their conference. When they get into a playoff setting and these games are tight with 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, that's why you see the Zags lose a bunch in March. Indiana and Notre Dame this year, you guys have not played a lot of close games. Indiana's played one game all year that's been decided by one score. Notre Dame's played two games all year that have been decided by one score. So in a game with teams that have really good defenses, teams that are good at running the football, and a game that's probably going to come down to the wire, I think you've got to favor the underdog in that situation because all the pressure is going to be on Notre Dame. The longer that this game stays close when the Irish are at home and all the pressure is on them, I think that's an advantage for Indiana. So I think Notre Dame's going to squeak out a close one at the end, but this game will, I think, go right down to the wire. So I like the Hoosiers plus the points.
So everybody's getting a lot of points in these first round games. All the dogs are more than touchdown dogs. Which of these, if any, do you think have a chance? It maybe it's Indiana to outright win. Like, which one is the money line bet if you're looking to get some juicy odds there?
For me, it's SMU. I think that's the play. SMU on the money line. They match up well with Penn State because they can stop the run and they can pressure the quarterback. And if you want to give Penn State and Drew Aller issues, that's what you do. You stop Katron Allen, Nick Singleton, and you pressure Drew Aller. That's what SMU is going to be able to do. Also, guys, like a lot of time, and we've already seen it in this college football playoff era when it was with four teams, a lot of time when that last team gets into the field and it's like kind of a controversial team, those teams end up playing pretty well, right? Like those teams that just get in and then they go on a little bit of a run. And I've been talking about it on my show. To me, James Franklin feels like he's treading the kind of water that John Calipari was at Kentucky, where fans were kind of getting fed up. He had all these good teams, but he really couldn't win big games anymore. And Oakland was the last straw when Kentucky lost last year. Penn State's path is really favorable. They're big favorites against SMU. They're going to be big favorites against Boise. They'll have a chance to beat Georgia or Notre Dame. They could match up well with either of those teams. Feels like Franklin, this game, if he loses it, he's going to be on the hot seat big time. So there are a lot of people out there that don't think SMU is very good. You know, they just kind of got in because they were fortunate to come back against Clemson and they only had one loss. But their defense is solid. Their offense has some good playmakers. And not only do I think they can hang with Penn State, I think they can win the game.
One of my favorite parts of the new college football playoff is that these, you know, 5 through 8 get the home games, and we get the matchup of SMU going to Pennsylvania. You get Tennessee going to Ohio State, and it's going to be like a 12-degree wind chill or something like that. You know, how much is that going to factor? Is there anything of, you know, SEC teams, a team from Texas playing in this cold that's altering your mind at all?
Definitely in the Tennessee-Ohio State game, I think it makes a big difference. SMU-Penn State, not as much, even though you got a team from Texas, like you said, going up to Happy Valley. I think the fact that it's during the day is a big deal, right? This is going to be 12 p.m. Eastern time, so the sun should be out. It's not looking like they're going to get any snow. It's just going to be cold. So I think that will help SMU, whereas Tennessee is going to be playing a night game, and I think that makes a big difference. It's supposed to be 16 degrees at kickoff. Nico, their quarterback's from California. He is not used to that. And both teams are, SMU and Tennessee, they are built to play in cold weather because they can stop the run. They have good defenses and they can run the football. Problem is with Tennessee, they just, when they've gone up against good teams this year, they have not been able to score a lot of points. You think about what they've done in road games too, at Arkansas, at Georgia, at Oklahoma. Their offenses have struggled to really put up a lot of yards and score a lot of points. I think they're going to struggle against Ohio State's defense too, which has been the number one scoring defense in college football this season. So it is a factor. I'm interested to see how it plays out, TJ, but I think it's more of a factor with Tennessee than it is with SMU.
All right, PJ, before we let you go, anything we've missed, pro, college, whatever it is, some of your favorite bets that we need to be on?
Yeah, I'll give you guys a favorite bet of mine in college and NFL. Texas-Clemson, we didn't talk about that game, but my favorite bet of the weekend is going to be Clemson's team total under at 20.5 points. I just think all right, that's way too much. Say what you want about Texas's offense, and I think it's all totally fair. Quinn Ewers is really the one thing that when you look at Texas's team kind of makes you concerned about them maybe winning the national championship. But that defense is ridiculous. I mean, they're number two in scoring. They're number one against the pass. They're top 15 against the rush. And Clemson this year, the two SEC teams they've played, 3 points against Georgia, 14 points at home against South Carolina. Now they're going on the road playing a true road game, and that total is 20.5. I think it's too many. So I like the team total under there. And then the other Saturday game, Ravens and Steelers, I'm taking Pittsburgh plus the points. These games are always close, and they're always decided by 3 points, and they're always low scoring. And I can just tell you guys how the game's going to go. The Ravens are the better team. They're going to outplay them. They're going to outgain them, but they're going to drop passes. They're going to turn the ball over. They're going to commit dumb penalties. And then you look up in the fourth quarter and the Steelers will have a chance to win the game. So I just think 6.5 is too many points. I like Pittsburgh on Saturday.
And TJ, if you didn't know, PJ's a big Ravens fan. So if you're wondering where that, you know, where that's that deep frustration is rooted, that's where that comes from. Yep. PJ, enjoy it. We will not have a show next week, so we will be a week off with you. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, enjoy the bets. Let's all make a little extra money, get a few extra Christmas presents this weekend.
Absolutely, yeah. Happy holidays, guys. Enjoy the games. I'll talk to you in 2025. Look forward to it.
There goes PJ Glasser, the host of Send It In, an Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Always good stuff there. lot to digest with the betting this weekend, and starts tonight. I gotta, you know, I told myself like I gotta take, I can't let it go. I gotta find a wacky same game parlay here tonight, TJ. I got, you know, you can't, you just can't let that, you just can't let that slide because that might be the one, you know, that might have been the one.
It could be. You know, I'm just thinking about this Indiana SMU parlay. I think we can get like plus 1,200 or something stupid juicy on that. So yeah, I like that a lot, and I like Tennessee a lot. I'm going to take a bunch of underdogs this weekend.
I got to tell you, I think Notre Dame's about to clean Indiana's clock. I just can't get – I don't – Indiana, I just like they haven't played anybody. They've played one quality game and they got crushed. They got crushed. I don't think Notre Dame's actually that good, but you know, we'll see. I'm so excited we have college football playoff. Like, I don't even care, honestly. Like, I don't even care. I'm just so excited we finally have what we should have had since the beginning of time. And I just want people to go nuts for it and realize how stupid it was that we've determined college football champions the way that we have for so long. But we appreciate PJ. If you missed anything there, if you want his takes on the Chiefs or anything else that you might have come into late, you can go right there on the Odyssey app, download the show, and listen in that way. Coming up in hour number two, we'll start things off with Tim Fitzgerald. Got to get Fitz's take on Jerome Tang's post-game comments. I'm real curious to see that. It's hard, TJ, and I know you and I haven't talked about it, but we will here with Fitz. Like, it's so hard because so much of that post-game was great, right? It's all the things you like to hear from Tang, the reason we all like Tang. But to go down that road, to me, seems like such a distraction because that's all we think about, right? It drives me crazy when coaches lecture fans. I just don't like it. Never have. It's always rubbed me the wrong way. Like, you know, those fans are the reason that we can all do this for a living. In their cases, they make lots of money because of those fans. Like, I just, it always rubs me the wrong way to lecture fans. And so I'm curious to see what Fitz is saying, what the tone is up in Manhattan. There is real heat, TJ, on that program right now.
I just saw a video on X of their Power Cat podcast they just did. And if you haven't seen it, Fitz went nuts for about 2 minutes.
Okay.
So this is going to be great.
We'll have that. He probably agrees with us then, or at least me, on how silly that all was. But we'll do that next. Tim Fitzgerald, K-State Insider, joins the program.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Next on Sports Daily.
Yeah.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
He's got all the insight of what you want to know and maybe some of what you don't want to know. Here's K-State insider Tim Fitzgerald.
All right, welcome in here, everybody. Hour number two on the program, and Daphne and Fitz are ready to roll. I haven't talked to you, Fitz, about this before right this moment. TJ informed me of what you guys had to go Power Cat. I was pretty taken aback by the post-game comments of Jerome Tang after the loss to Drake. It just does not make sense to me to make excuses for your players. It does not make sense to me to try and deflect the fact that this team is not playing up to the standard it should be playing and blaming fans because they're being mean to a 23-year-old millionaire. Like, it's, you know, this isn't a freshman out there. Now, if fans are being overly egregious and saying stupid things, you should be ignoring those fans or attacking that, you know, privately. But it's just such a swing and a miss when your team does not have any quality wins this year, not one, that you get up there and literally shame the fans and call it criminal that they're not being kind to an underperforming team. It just does not make sense to me, and it's such a bad look.
Okay, so Coleman Hawkins was referencing it turned out to be an Instagram post or DM from a guy saying, "I wish you'd break your leg." So they called out K-State fans. Well, my colleague and competitor, Derek Young from K-State Online, found the individual. He's not a K-Stater. He's a gambler. He was mad that K-State lost minus one. And this, first of all, I think the timing of this, even if it was a K-Stater, was wrong. I mean, come on. Talk about your game. That's the story, not this hopeful distraction, because it didn't work and it annoyed people. But second of all, don't take a shot at K-Staters when it wasn't a K-Stater. 99.9% certain it's not a K-Stater. Come on, man. What are we doing? Most of the posts I've seen, and I've been critical, fans have been critical, but almost every post I see is performance-based, effort-based, coaching-based criticism. Sometimes maybe it goes too far, but it's not personal necessarily. Now, getting personal, wishing harm, question character, all that stuff, come on. But if it's about performance, you're professionals. Whether you're the coach, which is getting paid an awful lot of money, or the players who now are getting paid an awful lot of money. And the irony here is Coleman Hawkins himself takes great pride in being in trolling back to people, just like I do. I don't take crap. I fire back, which people are like, don't give me interaction. I'm like, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to call him out. But he does too. So, what are we doing here? I mean, you know,
not playing well. Like that.
And here's the thing is, I thought after that crappy start, which I called out, I mean, they were bad on defense to match their bad offense, complete performance, if you ask me. But once they flipped the switch, I thought Coleman Hawkins was really good.
Yes.
And at times brilliant. He's really grown on me as a player. At the end of the game, I would have put the ball in his hands to make a pass because he's the best damn passer on the team and one of the best big men passing I've seen the ball in his hands with. So, look, you're getting there. It was progress. It was progress. We saw them actually play together, attack the rim, play with enthusiasm, and play like they cared. Progress. But you lost to Drake in front of a mostly K-State crowd in a mostly sold-out T-Mobile Center, and you're calling out the fans for not supporting you. They just showed up in droves in Kansas City to support you.
Fitz, the one thing that I'm really, you know, just kind of interested in is looking at, you know, social media and all the fans and the takes and everything that they're talking about. You know, a lot of people are asking about, you know, buyout numbers and talking about and overreacting and you know, everything like that. But to see this fan base 2 years ago, you know, knees on the ground talking about Coach Tang, and now to see where they're at now, you know, just how drastic of a shift has the fan base gone over these past 2 years?
It's incredible. It really is. When you're winning and you ask people to buy in, and they will. And they did. He stood on the table and said, expect this, you know, I'll give you this one court storming against KU, but expect this, you know, from here on out. I did a daily delivery on that very topic. You asked for these expectations. You literally stood on a table in front of a crowd and asked for these expectations. So don't get mad when the expectations are in place. There's been a lot said about Kansas State's NIL budget. There's been a lot said about how much Coleman Hawkins is getting of that budget. And that just changes the whole equation for me, guys. I mean, it really does. But don't get mad when people expect you to win because you told them to expect to win.
Yeah,
that's weird.
And again, it was a deflection, not just the lecture of the fans, but then to also try and deflect and say these kids are under pressure because they're getting paid. Like, college athletes have never been under pressure before they were paid. A, they were being paid anyway. Let's not be so naive. And B, like, what? Like, there's always been pressure for college athletes to win games. Like, that's such a cop-out to me because you can't have it both ways. Do you want the kids to get paid? Or do you want the expectations to be lower? Like, I don't understand that take to begin with. And in reality, I think it's an easy deflection. Well, these are just kids getting paid. Like, no, they're not. Coleman Hawkins is 23 years old, right? TJ, are you even 23 years old yet?
I am 23 years old.
So TJ's 23 years old. I'm not saying that as a joke. TJ's 23 years old. Coleman Hawkins is 23 years old. Does TJ deserve criticism if he's bad at his job? Of course he does. So, like, what are we doing here?
Because he sucks at his job.
This isn't some 17-year-old walking on campus. He doesn't need Jerome Tang to get up there. And he shouldn't need, or that's a problem. Like, you can't have it both ways. And it's such a miss on a deflection of what is really going on. And that's that they're not performing anywhere near where they should be performing. Not even close. They don't have a quality win, Fitz. They haven't beaten anybody this year.
The best win? Cleveland State. Are we going to say Cleveland State's the best win? What's the best win?
God.
New Orleans.
I know it's not Arkansas Pine Bluff. I know that. But, yeah, they've got one more shot in the non-con. And it's Saturday night right there in Wichita.
Well, you know what sucks about them? For them is Wichita State, by the way, who had one of the more disappointing losses ever this week. That loss dropped Wichita State 32 spots in the net ranking. So while in reality, we all know because we pay attention to the teams that is a quality game. And if they win it will be a very good win. For the resume, it may not be because of that loss Wichita State just suffered to UMKC. Dropping them as far as it did, now it won't appear to the committee later in the year that this is nearly as high quality a game as it might have been. By the way, Paul Mills, who used to coach with Jerome Tang, you know what he said after the game, Fitz?
What's that?
He said, I'm embarrassed for the fans that they had to watch that performance. So you had former cohorts, one blaming the fans for, I don't know if he's blaming, I don't know what he's blaming them for, but shaming them, and one apologizing to fans for a poor performance. Fascinating to put them side by side and then know they have to come play each other this weekend.
Yeah. Here's the headline. Someone's going to lose. And those fans will be mighty upset. And both programs are in interesting spots, but Wichita State's, you know, in the early stages of this. And in some ways Kansas State is, but boy, when you come out and get an Elite Eight bid, I think that changes how everyone's going to look at you. Look, based on the contract, Jerome Tang's going to be around for a few more years. So he's going to have to find a way to make this work. And I just saw an interesting piece of journalism where a lot of good journalism has moved to Substack. And the guy broke down rosters right now and pointed out that Kentucky is really the only program with a completely rebuilt roster that's thriving. Everyone else is struggling in some way. And he set out the parameters about the number of players you need with 2+ years in your program and the number of, you know, veteran players you need in your starting lineup. And it all makes sense. There has to be a blend between the NIL and foundational pieces, which is exactly what Drake had in that game. They were foundational pieces from Northwest Missouri State. By the way, they were mostly foundational pieces available for recruiting in the Kansas City area. And if you can put that foundation in place, which I think Bill Self does a terrific job with, he uses the NIL, he goes, brings guys in, but around them, he's got 5 or 6 guys that have played. They know the way, they know the expectations, they know the system, and they can coach along with the coaches. I think you have to have that, because if you're reinventing your roster every year, you look like a bunch of guys that don't understand how to play together, because you don't.
You know, just talking about, you know, obviously the expectations and everything that we're talking about, and you know, K-State fans known to overreact a time or two. I'm sure they have a time or two. At what point is it granted? You know, what is it going to take for, you know, the legit freak out where you legit start looking at, you know, talking to Gene Taylor, everything like that? You know, is it winless, last in the Big 12? You know, what's the floor?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Look, K-Staters have different expectations than just winning. And I think there's some clarity here. They expect you to go to work. They expect when you're on the job, which in this case is playing a sport, you're going to work hard. You're going to work with passion. You're going to work with focus. And you're going to try to make the name on the front of your jersey as proud as you would be with the back one. And they're not doing that. At the end of the day, that's really it. K-Staters can't stand crappy effort, uneven effort, heartless performance. And we're seeing more of that in the NIL era, I believe, because they got theirs. And now they've lost sight of playing for the spirit of the game. And I'm sorry, man. I don't know if you're really making $2 million. That's what everyone thinks. That's what I've been told. But you're getting better paid than almost every Kansas State fan. Yeah, there's some people out there making more than $2 million this year. It's not me. In fact, I would take the NIL budget of the 11th best player on the team. And that's it. That's what makes people mad. Why are you bitching at me? You're all more highly paid than I am.
Yeah. And it's, listen, if you're going to take, if you're going to be angry in the pros, yes, get angry at the players, right? But in college, the coaches are still making more. Like, are you more upset about Coleman Hawkins or that this team is underperforming top to bottom? That's a coaching issue. If you want to get mad at a salary, get mad at a coaching salary. How many raises has Jerome Tang had now at K-State? Two, right? Two raises?
Yep.
Be mad at that. And I'm a Jerome Tang guy, by the way.
I love it.
I really, really like and appreciate Jerome Tang, what he brings to the table, what he wants to do. I love that he cares so much about the kind of people he has there. That's why this was so irritating to me, is because it's such a miss from a guy who I think gets it right almost all the time and does navigate it. But man, like, their team's just not performing well, which is a reflection on coaching. So just own it that way. Just own that part of it and move on. And if your feelings are hurt about a fan or what somebody says, handle that stuff privately, man. You can't come on the podium and do that. It's a distraction. That was a very small part of what he said after that game. And it's all we're going to focus on. Because it is what it is. You got to be smarter. You can't do that. You just can't do that. Let's talk a little football here, Fitz. How's the portal looking? You guys can keep up with this stuff. I can't. My brain can't comprehend it. How's K-State looking in the portal right now?
You know, last night there was a report of a Purdue receiver committing, but we haven't seen that from the receiver or the coaches. Haven't Taylor Brad hasn't tweeted out his bring on the cats, which right. is the signature. So we're holding off on that. I think they're in like a diligent phase of this. And I know they look around and see a lot of programs, Texas Tech in particular, bringing in some really good players. They just picked up an interior defensive lineman from UCF that's pretty damn good, which K-State probably could have used. But I think they're also exercising their NIL for the transfer portal. Same topic, different sport. Is that the best way to go? Is it what are your guys in your locker room who have been sweating in your practice facility for 2 years think of that guy coming in who might be better, but he just transferred, so he got paid. You're getting punished for loyalty. And Chris Klieman's taking the approach, I'm going to reward the guys in my program. I'm going to try to hold my roster. If these guys are important, the NIL is going to go to them so I can keep them. And there's NIL for some transfers. You got to be in the ballpark. But that's not their lead first, because we're seeing exactly why they've chosen not that path with what's happening with basketball. Granted, 13 players all getting NIL is totally different than a 105-man roster. But it's been an interesting approach. They're going to add more players. I bet you they're getting into the 5 to 6 range when it's all said and done. If they go above that, I'll be a little surprised. But this 105 roster limit that starts is changing everything. And I think it's slowed down the portal for some teams. But just imagine this. If you're adding like 10 players from the portal, you were probably over 105 to start with. And then you were back over it again with your recruiting class. Those guys you're signing or bringing in from the portal are all going to boot guys off this roster. You can't just go to 125 anymore. It's 105.
Yeah.
So it's going to get interesting for some of these programs when they start making really deep cuts.
Yeah, you know, obviously you'd have to think that wide receiver is a spot that they're going to do, and it's going to be really interesting in this bowl game as well. Who's going to play wide receiver in this bowl game? A lot of young guys. Tyler Lockett's very vocal about who he wants to see play in this bowl game as well. But you feel like that's the top target that the Cats are going after in this portal is to get some wide receiver depth?
Yeah, they definitely need some depth. And you know what? They need some they haven't had great luck out of the portal with receivers. And maybe that's not the receivers. Maybe it's a system, but they want to find guys that can slide in and play and be effective at this level. But I think I'm sure they stepped up with Jason's NIL, Jace Brown. He was vocal in the locker room all season. And, you know, it came out, someone reported that he was transferring, which we know was his plan. But I think they calmed it all down, again, by taking the NIL and using it on him instead of an outside receiver, because he's a known commodity. He's got a good relationship with the starting quarterback. And if you can get him better focused on non-NIL things, you know what I mean, and get him focused on the team, he could be that guy in the locker room that says the thing nobody else wants to say, because he does. That's his personality. He'll say what's on his mind, and that can be a powerful thing or a negative thing. But I think they recognize in Jace Brown, he's a home run hitter. We don't need to go to the portal to find one. We've got one. Let's keep that. And let's go to the portal and find guys that supplement it. And I'm also still intrigued with what they're going to do with Dylan Edwards. Now that DJ Gidden's gone, does that put him at running back full time? Or is part of this plan, because they're sniffing around portal running backs too, to move him more to a receiver / occasional running back? That's how I think he should be used, but I'm sure he'll be a full-time running back in this bowl game along with Joe Jackson because of DJ Giddens' absence.
I was going to ask you about Giddens. I'm glad you brought him up, his decision. I was surprised by that. Maybe I'm the only one, but I can't imagine Giddens is going to be a top 3-round pick, we'll say.
Nope.
So
not running back, no.
No, knowing that, I was pretty surprised there wouldn't have been a better earning opportunity to return to K-State versus what he'll be able to earn as a later round draft pick. That one surprised me for that reason.
I think the calculation for a running back is, by staying another year, does my value really rise that much
No, but can't he earn more? Wouldn't you be surprised if he'll earn more in year one in the NFL than he would have at K-State through NIL if he returned?
Well, there's some truth to that. But also, you start moving towards your full pension if you can stick around the league long enough. So that one year might be really important. And let's say it. DJ Giddens is beat up. This team offensively spent, in my opinion, too much time trying to protect Avery Johnson in the run game. I thought it was to a fault. They removed him too often. There were some games where he simply couldn't do it, but I thought they were too shy with it all year long. And the result of that was DJ Giddens taking more of a beating.
Yeah,
he runs between the tackles almost every time, and he runs over people. He runs through people. He doesn't avoid contact. The guy's a great football player. I've never this is the greatest like personal growth story I've seen from K-State football. This guy was so shy, and I don't think he had very good verbal skills as a child. He didn't talk very much. He liked to go fishing, just spend time with himself, and probably get a meal. And the growth this guy has seen as a football player has been completely self-earned. I mean, along with leaning on his coaches and strength coaches and everything. But did we see this? No. No, we didn't. We really didn't. And it makes me proud when I see a kid like DJ earn all of this through really hard work and personal growth. It's really cool to see.
DJ was always the fun interview after the games because you had no idea what he was going to say, if he was going to say anything at all, for that matter. But yeah, definitely an awesome story there. Piggyback on what we talked about earlier with the expectations of the basketball team and everything, you know, just a month ago, that was a hot topic for the football team because of the, you know, 8-win speech and everything like that. You know, I know there's a bowl game first and obviously everything going ahead, but, you know, what's the expectation for K-State football? You know, if everybody's going to be critical, what do they need to be critical for? What's the expectation?
Well, I think eight wins is the baseline. I mean, obviously, because that's in his contract. And you know what? As a K-Stater that's been around a long time, I never thought I'd see that when 8 wins is disappointing. But it is. It really is. And I don't think it was the 8 wins. It was how they came about, that they were 7-1. Mm-hmm. And then they went 1-3 down the stretch. And as I've stepped back and looked at this, you can look at the bowl depth chart. And even removing Parrish and Giddens, the guys going out, this is still a pretty damn young team. You had a sophomore quarterback, a true sophomore middle linebacker that was your leading tackler. You got young guys all over the field. Jace Brown's a true sophomore. I mean, the four key guys we're talking about, Dylan Edwards, Avery Johnson, Jace Brown, and Austin Romain, are all true sophomores. This was a young team, and I think by the time they got to that stretch, they were out of gas. They hadn't, most of these kids hadn't gone through that. Austin Romain talked about it last year, playing full-time as a true freshman. He hit a wall. And I feel like this team just physically and mentally was exhausted by, you know, that
Avery
ninth
was
game
hurt.
Of the season. Avery was hurt. Everyone's banged up.
Yeah.
And I thought their spirit dropped. I really do. I don't think they played with the same type of enthusiasm that we saw. And they just overwhelmed Cincinnati. But you look back at the season, guys, there was a four-way tie for first in case they lost to three of those teams. So, yeah. And they beat the fourth one.
Caution K-State fans a little bit here. Texas ran Mack Brown out of town after 8 wins. That didn't go so well.
No.
K-State fans shouldn't have to think back that hard at the first time they tried to replace Bill Snyder. 8 wins a year is a fantastic baseline. It just is. You can get as mad at that as you want. You can wish and hope that they would be, you know, Ohio State winning 10, 11 games a year. It's not going to happen. So if the floor is 8 wins, I think that's pretty damn good floor. Quite, oh, if absolutely. We're being honest with ourselves.
80% of college football would take that.
Should take that, whether they will or not. They
should. That's true.
That.
Fans, that might be different.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, let's be real about it. Fitz, appreciate it. we got a real great game this weekend, not for the reasons we thought when the season started, but it should be a packed house, I think, at Coke Arena. I think it's going to be.
It's got to be, doesn't it?
I think it'll be the best crowd that arena sees this year. And if you're a K-State fan and you're not used to it, it is one of the best college basketball venues in the country when it's full and loud like that. So hopefully everybody will be able to check it out, and hopefully both of those teams can start playing better.
And one final thought, renew this series. Do this again.
Do it every year. It is so important. I thought about this the other day, and for Kansas too, and everybody, like right now in the state, and Kansas doesn't need it as much because they'll sell out anyway. But for teams like K-State and Wichita State, and for the financial component of where college sports is headed, here's one positive, I hope, and we'll have to ask Kevin Saul this question. Doesn't it incentivize playing these kind of games more because filling arenas has never been more critical for these programs? Like, they ought to be playing marquee games every chance they get just to try to generate revenue through ticket sales.
I agree. And I would like to see them playing UMKC every year. I mean, I think those regional games – But I know the argument, but we have more to lose than they do.
Not anymore. Yeah. No, exactly. Don't.
Yeah. Going into Wichita Saturday, you don't have much left to lose.
Well, financially, you're about to have to get, like, Kevin Saul put for Wichita State, who doesn't have football. I don't know if you've seen this, Fitz. He's projecting Wichita State needs to generate, what is it, TJ?
$7 million, I think is what it was.
$7 million more in revenue now in the model of sharing that's coming. That's without football, right? I can't imagine what football programs are going to have to generate when there should be no more question of buy games. We can't. No. Buy games cost you a lot of money. But B, schedule quality opponents and fill up your arenas. If you need to generate the money, play every quality game you can play. And take Kansas as an example. It'll make you better by the end of the year anyway. Bill Self schedules like crazy. They play a crazy schedule. Does it hurt them by the end of the year? Of course it doesn't. Fill up those arenas. I'm telling you, it can be financial comeuppance here for these programs. Fitz, at Life of Fitz on social. Of course, go powercat.com. Enjoy the day. Happy holidays. We'll be off next week, Fitz. So it'll be, it may be into 2025 before we have a chance to talk to you again. Merry Christmas. I see the tree there behind you, and we'll talk again soon.
And the new Power Cat podcast is up, and it's a little fiery too.
A little spicy. Yeah, a little spicy in there. Check it out. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We got a voice message we'll get to through the Odyssey app on some of the things we've been talking about here. Don't go away. It's all Brockton Cleland Sports Daily on a Thursday. Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Thanks for being here with us. Crestview Country Club, all kinds of fun going on for the holiday season, different events for the new year, for Christmas, lots of kids activities, and of course, getting you ready for the upcoming cold season. If you're a golfer, you can get on the track man there and play some, I don't know if you call it virtual golf, but you can do that. Tennis players, you can go inside on the courts there. So there you go. Crestview Country Club, appreciate their support of the program. Give them a call. Tell them we sent you here from Sports Daily. All right. Let's go. I believe we had a little bit of a computer issue there, but I think we have it back now. So we've got a voice message through the Odyssey app here. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland with you on Sports Daily. Jad has that for us. This coming in from Jason. So, Jad, let's hear what Jason had to say.
Good morning, fellas. Good show as always. My prediction is that Mahomes is indeed going to play primarily because of Hollywood Brown. I think with the potential of the Chiefs not having to play that final game at Denver, as well as having a week off in the playoffs, hopefully with the number one seed, means that reps will be limited between Mahomes and Hollywood Brown with live bullets flying in games. So I think if Hollywood Brown wasn't coming back so early, we would have been seeing Carson Wentz in this upcoming game. But Hollywood Brown gives them their probably most consistent deep threat, their biggest ability to beat man coverage more consistently. compared to Xavier Worthy. So I'm excited to see what he can do. And my guess is he will be a difference maker as we come to the playoffs.
Good stuff there from Jason. Appreciate it. Again, you can leave us those voice messages right there through the Odyssey app. I think Brown's a difference maker, and I think, yes, they're going to want Brown and Mahomes to get ready. Do I think Mahomes is playing primarily because Brown is playing? I would say no. That seems too risky. I think Mahomes is playing primarily because his ankle feels good, and he can. And they're still playing for home field. It will be interesting, TJ, if they are able to wrap up home field, win their next two games, because I can't imagine that they're going to want 2 weeks off for their starters. Like, if you get home field, you get the built-in bye. I would play the starters at least a little bit. 2 weeks off before a playoff game seems strange to me. I'd still let him play, like treat it like a preseason game almost.
Yeah, I mean, maybe put him out there for a drive, I guess, if you're going to do it. But I mean, in my opinion, I think that the Kansas City Chiefs are just so beat up. Obviously, they're becoming more healthy as we were talking about, but they had that bye in week five, I think. So they're gonna end up playing.
Yeah.
What, 14 straight football games every single week, and then have the, you know, 3 games in 10 days storyline. You've got your quarterback with an ankle sprain and everything like that. So maybe if they get to that point where they win these next two games, I would say leave Patrick Mahomes on the sidelines, maybe put everybody else out there if you really want to do that. But I mean, I'm completely okay with the starters taking 2 weeks off, honestly.
Well, look, I would ask Mahomes and the starter, like, what do you want to do? That'd be the first thing I did. I think there would be enough trust, and I know people would point to the Hollywood Brown injury to say sometimes you just have to, you know, Tommy's not here today, but I can guarantee you that's what he would say. I would probably lean into the players and say, what do you want to do here? Like, you can rest up. We have everything. This game means nothing. Do you want to start? Do you want to get a drive in? Do you want to get some reps in? Do you care? 2 weeks off is a long time in football. Like, that's hard to me. I can't imagine going on ice for 2 weeks and then, you know, getting in there that way. But it would be fine if they did it. If any team could do it, it would be the Chiefs. Like, if any team you would just trust will do exactly what they need to do with the time off and be ready to go for the playoff game, it would be the Chiefs. I'd probably just ask the players. We got to get there first, though. You got to get there. And who knows? It could happen even sooner. They could be in a situation where they clinch with 3 weeks off. You know, all of that stuff still has to be played out. A couple other comments, then we'll take a break and get to something TJ's just sent, an announcement for KU basketball that's pretty exciting, quite frankly. So a discussion happening right now on YouTube, which is one of the places you can watch our video stream. Rick says NIL, we were talking about this with Fitz as it pertains to K-State, was never set up to be this. It was so a kid could advertise for a company or sign autographs for money, not pay for play. Ken then chimed in and says subsequent court cases have resulted now in changing all of this, essentially. Compensation's not just allowed, but it's going to be mandated, quite frankly, through revenue sharing. And then Rick just says now courts don't want to count junior college as years, so let's have 27-year-olds playing college. It's all ridiculous. Okay, there's a lot to unpack there. Ken is correct, I think, in that it's not about the true intent of NIL and pay to play. The courts are telling these schools they can't just hoard all the money from the players anymore. It's not legal. It never was legal. It never made any sense. And now the courts are saying you're going to have to compensate these players for their work. So like it, love it, hate it, doesn't matter. It's happening, right? It's irrelevant what we all think about it. The ruling yesterday Rick is referencing, and we haven't talked about this, there is a ruling in the court now that a junior college, I think it was the player that sued here.
It was Diego Pavia, the Vanderbilt quarterback, basically sued and said that it's not fair that he wasn't allowed to get NIL money because he was at a junior college, so he should get an extra year.
But so in reality, the far-reaching implications of that are that junior college years don't count against your eligibility in the NCAA. I would say this about that. I think this is a good thing. I think it's a good thing, A, for junior colleges, and I think that will help them on the recruiting trail. I think it will be easier for kids to make the decision to go to a junior college. And the NJCAA and the NCAA are two different places. So letting that be a year that doesn't count against how many years, I think it's going to make players better. I think it's going to be good for junior colleges, which we just saw Hutchinson win a national championship, which are important to us here in this part of the world. The Jayhawk League's critical. And so I think it's a good thing, honestly, if junior colleges can not count that against NCAA eligibility, because it'll let kids go get seasoned before they come. As far as older players playing in college, that just has never bothered me. I don't really care. You get 4 years there, you get 4 years and you got to go. I'm okay with that. And if it's a junior college kid that comes in, let's say it's, you know, this is just an example of Ben Powers, right? Who was a premier junior college player. So if he's now allowed to have another year of eligibility in college, I don't have a problem with that. I think it's fine.
I mean, that part is fine, thinking about it from that part of it. But I think that the issue is I don't think people have issues with, you know, 26-year-olds playing in college, like Alan Bowman, the Oklahoma State quarterback, just finished his seventh year of college. And it's like, yeah, like, whatever, it's not your life. Who cares? But the issue is that, you know, you've got whatever it may be. Avery Johnson here in Mays High School, he's losing a starting spot because there's a 26-year-old who's just milking up all of his time. So the trickle-down effect is what people are going to be complaining about.
I'm not talking about Alan Bowman. I'm not talking about seventh-year seniors. I'm talking about a kid that went to a junior college and just basically had his timer start once he got to his college. It's not the guys who have been able to play. Jalen Daniels has been in college for a very long time. He's taken somebody's spot. Are we okay with that?
I mean, that's the issue. I think that, honestly, in my opinion, I would go the other way from this, and I would say that, you know, you get a timer once you get there, and it's 5 years, and you can have one redshirt in there, and then,
yes,
you know, if you, like, it sucks if you get hurt and everything like that. Obviously, medical redshirts are the reason that these guys get so much of this stuff, but, you know, in football, you know, you can play, what is it, four games and still redshirt, and, you know, it's just, I don't like it. I would rather have. You know,
I'm with you on that. I mean, Jalen Daniels is about to play his sixth year of college football, and he's played in all five of the years prior.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, it's going to be the same thing. Obviously, you're only going to get the 4 years at the school, but, like, I mean, you're going to have, whenever you look at recruiting and stuff like that, I mean, you're going to have seniors that would graduate in this senior class of 2025, that would still be playing football in 2031, because you're going to get 2 years of junior college, then you could get a redshirt year, and then you could play four more years after that. And so it's going to, you know, just dilute the field of guys that we're going to see. And, you know, these high school kids are going to lose opportunities because of it. So,
well, but they'll have more opportunities now to go to junior college. I mean, and that's the flip side of it, right? Because now they know junior colleges don't count against their eligibility. They go get ready in junior college to make the jump. Yes, we do need to. And the COVID year messed all this up. We know that, right? The COVID year is why we have these seventh year seniors and whatever it is. That part needs to go. I totally agree. I would say this too, like, the way you do that is to get this stuff all sorted out in court. You set up your parameters, and then you have work contracts where the parameters are crystal clear. You are agreeing to this formula. Yes, you are being paid for it, but no, you don't get to transfer, or you don't get paid by our school because you transfer. Like, those kinds of things all get settled up through contracts. And I think that's where we're headed. And, you know, we got to get there first. And so we're going to have to sort through all these little court cases that change the landscape every other day. Just reality of it. Just reality of it. I would contend this. Are we going to be thinking about any of that when we're watching college football playoff games on Saturday? No. We're thinking about that on Thursday. Once the games start, we're thinking about the games. It'll be okay. We're going to get there. We're still figuring it all out. But the new frontier will be better than the old. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll get to that news for Kansas basketball. Great opportunity. We talk about NIL and all these things. KU gets a good one. That'll be next year. We'll tell you what happened next on Sports Daily.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
You want to win some HTO, free iced tea, sweet or unsweet, and a free iced or hot coffee drink? All you got to do right now is text the keyword TEA, T-E-A, to the short code 20357. These will be good for either Wichita location or in Derby. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. That's TEA to the short code 20357. IHOP hotline back open for you at 869-1240 for a couple more minutes. Brought to you by IHOP, official breakfast partner of Xbox. Try that fully loaded French toast at IHOP. All right, TJ, you sent this to me here. It looks like KU is going to be in the Players Era Championship out in Vegas in 2025. Shouldn't surprise us. We thought this was coming. And so we'll remind you that this, correct me if I'm wrong, this is the tournament now where it comes with its own like separate NIL opportunities tied to it. And I think this is really interesting to watch and see. You'll get an in-season tournament here, which for Kansas fans, it just provides the chance to play some really good teams early in the year. And for the players and coaches, it makes it easier to recruit players there because they get invited to a tournament like this where you could earn a little cash on the side.
Yeah, basically. So there was 12 teams in it this last year, and they just added four more teams or whatever it was, some unreal number amount of teams. I just tweeted it out that there's a 16 teams are in the field, and 12 of them are currently ranked in the latest AP poll. And like eight of them are top 15. So it's an unreal field. And so it's what KU does already. They already play a bunch of great teams. This is going to give you even more. And it's going to be awesome. So basically how it works is, they have to follow all the NCAA regulations and everything. So there's a bunch of bylaws. And the way that they do things is going to be different. But basically, they're going to raise a bunch of money off of ticket sales. They're going to raise a bunch of money off a TV deal they have with TNT, I believe. And that's pretty much going to kind of get paid out to the players in different NIL deals one way or another. So it makes a ton of sense. And this is the way, in my opinion, we just kind of talked about this before the break of, NIL became pay to play and everything like that. This is what, people were kind of asking for all along. Nobody was asking for Joe Schmo to have to donate $50 to the collective to try to keep Jace Brown at K-State or whatever. Asking for the 102,000 people that were at Kyle Field that maybe a little bit of the money should have gone to Johnny Manziel.
And that will come through revenue sharing, but I think even more to your point, like these are the kinds of opportunities that take nothing away from us as fans. In fact, it enhances our fan experience because you're going to see these great games. This is what should be happening with bowl games, by the way. If you want to talk about bowl games and how do you get kids to play in them and do all that, you pay the kids to play in them. You pay them. Bowls make a lot of money. That's why they're around. So take a portion of that and give it to the players. If you want them to play in an exhibition game that they didn't sign up for, then you pay and you'll get better participation. You'll get better games. You'll get all of that. That's why college basketball has a tremendous opportunity here to become a larger revenue generator, I think, for these schools, because it's always been overlooked. You can't like weeknight programming like this is so dang valuable. And I hope schools are able to take advantage of it. And it'll help some of these things we're talking about when they're trying to come up with new money. That's why Brett Yormark being in charge of the Big 12, the timing is good because he's been at the forefront of this kind of stuff. Not that this has anything to do with him, but this sort of idea is the next frontier for college basketball. Make it a bigger deal. Men and women, by the way, the women are doing this tournament too. I don't know how many teams are in theirs. They announced their first four teams, I believe, yesterday that will be in this. There is massive potential here, and it will be good for everybody, mostly the fans, because now that field, come on. Those are like you're gonna be locked into that. That stuff matters. The NBA Cup doesn't really matter to, but this matters to teams' resumes. It matters to whether or not you could make the NCAA. There's a lot on the line for a tournament like that. So I love it. I think it's going to be cool, and I can't wait to watch it. I didn't watch it this year, but I will next year if Kansas is in it, obviously. We'll come back. We'll wrap it up. We'll tell you what's on the network today. Sports Daily, coming right back.